Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. I'm so excited for today's episode. As you guys know, I've been trying to get a little bit back into guest episodes recently. I absolutely love connecting with people, talking to people about their stories, and I'm so excited to talk with Marley Harris today all about her story. We're going to get to know everything about her, how she went from being 30K in debt to making over 70K a month, which when I read that on her website, I was like, I need to get this girl on to talk about everything she does, all her secrets, all her hacks. So I'm so excited to have her here today. Do you want to give a little introduction about yourself, what you do, where you're from, all that good stuff?
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. By the way, that is outdated. I need to update my numbers on the website. So thank you so much for reminding me of that.
I was going through it. I was like, this is amazing.
Well, we got better, baby. I got better things to tell you. So my name is Marley. I'm from a very small town in Ontario, Canada. And my journey really started from such a random place, which was growing up and just despising winter. I hate winter. And I desired to work from anywhere in the world. I love traveling. I call myself a plant. I just thrive in the sunshine. I thrive by the ocean. But I was in this town that just felt like I was just out of place from, you know, everyone around me was content with earning $50,000 a month, you know, getting married out of school. And that is so beautiful for them because that's their journey. But for me, I was like, I don't want this. I feel like I was meant for more and I desired more. And I really started, I don't know if you want to be all into it now, but really desired to create this life of time, location, financial freedom, and to be able to work from anywhere in the world, work from my laptop, and getting paid to do what I loved. And basically, after moving to Bali, living in Australia, and creating this dream life, a lot of people were like, Marley, like, how are you doing this? And I started combining, you know, energetics and mindset and business. And that's when really things started to take off. And like I said, I come from a very small town. This was not normal for me and was evidence that if you heal your mindset, you can truly have whatever you desire. Mm-hmm. And so really being inspired by that and really being excited by that and wanting to teach others, like, I feel like I found this like secret thing. And I was like, guys, everyone has to learn about this. Like, you don't have to stay in these jobs that you don't like. Like, we can all do this. And so it really brought me to this place today, which is helping others create this life of time, location, financial freedom, mm-hmm. and really just living a life that it's like, how does it even get to be this good? That's why I'm here to help people do.
Yeah. And that's the best way to look at it. And I really want to highlight you talking about financial freedom, because I think anyone in their 20s, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whatever it is, financial freedom is the goal. And I think when you're in your 20s, when you're, you know, student loan debt, and you're kind of just trying to like enjoy your life, because I'm in college right now. I know a lot of my friends that are in college, and a lot of our time is taken up with classes, with school. And then on top of it, we're working like babysitting jobs or like part-time minimum wage jobs just to make enough money to like survive the weekends and enjoy our life. So what is kind of your advice for college students or people in their young 20s that even just graduated college and are just stepping into this corporate world, not making the best income? What is your advice when it comes to financial freedom and not feeling financial burden and stress when it comes to student loan debt and all that?
So really, this is such a good question. So really what I teach is how to change your beliefs around your money mindset to change your reality. So I'm going to give a little like scientific method or like teaching right now. So your belief system is found within your subconscious mind. You have your conscious mind and you have your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind controls 5% of your reality, and your subconscious mind controls 95% of your life. Okay. Your subconscious mind was developed between the ages of 0. And when I mean 0, I mean like in the womb, and 7 years old. So everything that you saw, everything that you were told, everything that you experienced and learned about money, you believe to be true. Okay. So a lot of us were raised in households where there was never enough, where everyone's just getting by. It was very scarce, very fear, a lot of negative beliefs around money, and that gets passed down. And as a child, you don't know positive and negative. You don't know the difference between real and imagined. And so you just take this in as truth. Then after the age of 7 years old, you start to develop your conscious mind. So if I was like to Olivia at seven, at like 4 years old, I'd be like, you're purple. You'd be like, I'm purple. And you would like think you were purple. You spend the whole day thinking you were purple. Mm-hmm. But at 8 years old, I'd be like, you're purple. You'd be like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm clearly not purple.
Yeah.
And so you had the conscious ability to decipher that that was not truth. Whereas at two or three or four, when you see your parents fighting around money, you believe that money is bad. And you can't decipher that it's not. And so then we're 20, 30, 40, 50. And those beliefs that's gotten still between the age of 0 and 7, you now believe to be true. And your beliefs are creating your reality. And I like to describe this as kind of like watching a movie. So you're at the movie theater, you're sitting in the seat, okay? And your reality is being played out on the screen. And what's happening is in the back, in the movie theater recording room, where they're projecting the movie onto the screen, it's like your beliefs are the tape in the recording, in the projector that is projecting. So whatever you believe, whatever is on those tapes is being projected into your reality, and you believe that is what you're looking at. And so if you're ever wondering like, okay, what is my beliefs around money? What is my money reality? What's in my subconscious? That was my first thought. I was like, oh, what's in my subconscious mind? Like, I don't want to know. But just take a screenshot of your reality. What's in your bank account? What do you feel when you receive money? What do you feel around spending? What do you feel about budgeting? What do you feel about spending? What do you feel about when you see other people with money? And also, if you grew up with money, it doesn't also mean that you have a very abundant mindset around money. I have many clients who grew up wealthy and still struggle financially. So that doesn't also mean that. It's because it doesn't have to necessarily come from your parents, and it's very subtle. So you could have assumed something about money that wasn't necessarily true and believed it to be truth. So what we do, and I'm getting to answer your question here, which is, even that's why you see people with millions of dollars and they're still miserable, because money only solves money problems. And so in order to feel abundant around money and no longer feel the words you were saying, like scarce, like just getting by, getting through the weekend, the way to heal that actually is by changing your beliefs. So you no longer believe that money is about just getting by. You no longer believe that you just have to scrape by. And we start to rewire and change so that you believe what is actually true, which is abundance is normal for you. Abundance is your birthright. I don't even want to get too fluffy. I just want to say, like, money coming into your life consistently is normal for you. Being in overflow is normal. There's always more money coming into my bank account than leaving. When we instill those beliefs and when we rewire those beliefs, guess what? The tape and the recorder starts changing, and then your reality starts to change. And so you will find money-making opportunities that, quote-unquote, come out of the blue, because once your brain believes it's true, it goes to work to find it. So your brain does not make you a liar. So if you start to believe that money comes to you consistently, you will then start to see, hear, notice, find, have ideas for other opportunities that are going to make you money that will mean that you already have always have money in overflow. So to answer your question, you change your beliefs, but it's like, okay, well, how do you do that, Marley? It sounds so great, but like, I've been like this my whole life. How do you change your beliefs?
Yeah.
So to change your beliefs, there's many ways we can do that. There's not just one, but there's tools that I'm sure you've heard of before, like hypnosis, NLP, journaling, how you speak. Which is really cool. I have an app coming out that's going to actually be subconscious reprogramming, a very affordable way to start to reprogram your subconscious mind. But something you can do right now at home as you're listening to this is become aware what your beliefs currently are. Because I think a lot of us, we're running these beliefs, but they're subconscious, right? So we're not consciously aware of them. If we were consciously aware of them, we would be like, oh, I probably don't want to believe that. And then like, stop believing that. But that's just not how your brain works.
Yeah.
And so what you can do is you can grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and write down like, what are my beliefs around money? And just journal it out. And sometimes there's going to be things that come out. You're like, oh my God, I don't want to write that down. I don't want it to be true. But if it's coming up, you believe it. So just write it down.
Yeah.
I know. And just write it down. And then you're gonna be like, oh, that's how I'm creating my money reality. Because you will never attract into your life that something that you don't believe. You will always attract into your life what you believe to be true. So then you can start to see, oh, here's the software that's making up this reality. And then a really great hack and something you can do really easily is draw a line down your piece of paper, and on the other side, write the complete 180 positive belief that you want to believe. So let's say your negative belief is, oh, money doesn't show into my life consistently. The 180 positive belief is money comes to me consistently. And then with all these affirmations, the opposite positive affirmations, you can make these reminders on your phone. You can record them into a voice note and listen to it every morning and every evening. You can, you know, put sticky notes on your fridge, like whatever, just be around that and keep instilling this. And like every other muscle in your body, your brain heals over time. So once you start to see it, your brain believes it. And once you repeat it over and over, repetition is the mother of healing your subconscious mind. And so over time, you will start to see that your reality changes. But you don't go to the gym once and do one rep and have a six pack, just like you don't read an affirmation once and your whole reality changes. Yeah. So you commit to it consistently. But that is like a very easy way for anyone at home, free way to start changing your money reality today.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in affirmations and just like writing down and showing up as the person that you want to be, rather than just saying, I want to be this, saying that you're already that, and then it will start to like come your way. So I love how you brought all of that up. And I love the way that you're saying everything is in control of your mind. I always say, even if like you're not feeling well or you're sick, like your mind is telling you, you feel that way. Like if you're upset and you like, they say, just smile in the mirror for like 10 minutes and you trick your mind that you're happy. It's like our mind really does control so much. So I love how you kind of brought up a way to do it just on our own. It's not like we have to go do this like class or go do this like activity. It's just, it's all in your head. And I love that. When I want to talk a little bit about your corporate life, because I know that you worked corporate. I know that you escaped working corporate. And I want to talk about how you felt when you were in corporate. What was kind of like your goal before you went into corporate? Was it your goal to be in corporate? And then once you got into it, you were like, I'm made for more than this. And how did you have the courage to leave it? Because I feel like even for me personally, I'm going to be graduating college this fall. And I have my own business, obviously my podcast, but I'm also like, oh, should I be doing corporate to have something more stable and more consistent and something where I know where my next paycheck is coming from, rather than trying to go on my own endeavor. So what is your kind of mindset before you went into corporate, when you left, and then people, advice for people who are not really sure if they should go 100% in themselves or go into the corporate world?
Oh, I'm so happy that we're talking today. So growing up, I wanted to work in corporate. Both of my parents are entrepreneurs, and I saw how much they struggled. And I was like, hell no. I want the salary. I want the benefits. I want the car. Like, I wanted to be a CEO, but for a corporate company, that was my dream. Yeah. And so when I graduated from university, I had the corporate job offer that I wanted. I had it, I got it, and I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted. And I realized in this moment, actually, this is not what I want at all. I want to be able to work from anywhere in the world. I want to be able to create my own luck. I really don't do well with people telling me what to do. So I really want to be my own boss. And I had a taste of what it was like to work for myself, because when I would go home in the summers, I would, you know, either you work in a restaurant or you work in a restaurant. Like, there was no Deloitte internship at. Mm-hmm. So I had no experience on my resume. But what I did is I saw there was an opportunity because I'm from this town where a lot of tourists come. And I was like, well, no one has a website. No one's on social media. Like, hello, like, let's do it. You know, I started making money that way. And it was like, I remember the first time I designed a website for someone, and they brought $500 to my work when I was working at a restaurant. And it might as well have been $5 million. I'm like, this is everything. Like, I just made my own money. Like, I'm out of here. But like, it just really signaled to me that I loved it. And I actually realized, no, this is actually what I want to do. And when I got that corporate job offer, it was living in a place that I knew I did not want to live. And so I don't want to say this is an easy decision. I literally talked to everyone about this. I talked to my dog, my aunt, all my teachers. Like, I talked to everyone about it. But my intuition knew, like, I innately knew that going and taking the leap and going full time in my first business, which is designing websites and logos, there was a chance that it could work and I could live this life that I've always dreamed of. But I know 100% for certain, if I went all in with the corporate, that would never get me to where I want to go. And I just was like, you know what? Corporate job is always going to be there. I have this degree. I can always come back to this. And something actually my professor said to me, which I'm going to share with you because this is really actually what got me. And she was like, Marley, you are young. You don't have a kid. You're not married. You don't have a mortgage. This is your time. Like, you can't do this when you're my age. You just can't. And she was like, I always wish I did what you did in this moment. And I was like, like getting chills as I say this. I was like, okay, I have to do this. And I was like, and I just committed to, yes, the corporate job is going to be there, but my why to making it work was so strong that I refused to make it not work. Yeah. And so I went full-time my business, but I got something which I now teach my students. It's called a bridge job. So it's a bridge to keep the lights on, pay your expenses, you know, so you're never stressed about where the next meal is going to come from. And there's no desperate energy or pressure put on your business. So it's like a part-time job. For me, it was serving. And I also worked part-time at actually the school that I went to. And then in the evenings and everywhere else, I worked on my business. Mm-hmm. I did that for a year. Like, it took a year. But after a year, I said, okay, it's about to be winter again. I bought a one-way flight to Australia. I quit my part-time job. I quit serving. And I was like, this is it. Wow. And that was my first $10,000 a month in business.
Wow.
And the reason why that happened is because I created the space. Before, I didn't have the space. And I was constantly just getting by in terms of like showing up for clients and just getting, I couldn't expand. I was limiting myself. So I quit and then I went full time in the business. And that was in 2019. I haven't looked back from then. But to answer your question, yes, my whole life I wanted to work in corporate. And then I finally got the offer and I was like, uh-uh. And I have to say, it's definitely the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, you're not building up someone else's dream. You know, you're building up your own. And anyone who's listening to this and corporate is your dream and that's what you want to do, I think that, you know, everyone
takes perfect. Everyone, you know, I love that for you.
Yeah. I am so inspired by your story. And I feel like this chapter in my life right now, it's so important to just like talk to people like you, because like I said, right now I'm a full-time student, full-time podcast business owner. I also work at a school as a special needs aide part-time. And then I also babysit. So like, I'm just like a million girl. Things because I'm like, where's my next, like, I just want more and more and more money, fill up my schedule. Like, and then, like you said, any minute that I'm not at school teaching or babysitting, I'm here. I'm figuring out content ideas. I'm recording. I'm emailing guests. I'm going into the city to record, whatever it is. And I'm like, at this stage in my life, and I think a lot of people in their 20s, when they graduate college, especially their first job out of college, they put so much pressure on. Or if they do run their own business, it's like, oh, I can't do anything while I'm running my own business because people are going to think I'm a failure, or people are going to think I'm not doing well, or whatever it is. And I love how you said a bridge job, like having that, like if I graduate and I decide I want to go all in with my podcast, but some days I go still teach and some days I go still babysit. So I know that I have a certain amount coming in each month, but then I also have all this time to work on my side hustle. What is your advice and tips for people who are either working corporate or working the bridge job and they think they don't have the time for their side hustle? They think they don't have the time to run their business. What is your advice for that?
I have so many good tips on this. Mm-hmm. So from an energetic perspective, I want you to energetically commit that your side hustle is your full-time job. It's not a side hustle. Because think about the energetics behind the word side hustle. You're never going to prioritize a side hustle. It's a side. So my recommendation is to prioritize, make your side hustle your full-time job. If anyone asks you what you do, hi, I run a podcast, like that, just Delulu vibes of like, this is my full-time thing, okay? Until it becomes your reality. So when I was starting out, if anyone was like, hey, what do you do? I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur. I design websites and brands. They'd be like, whoa, cool. Did I tell them that I worked like also someone? No, I didn't. Because I was identifying and embodying the version of me that was that already, okay? And so that's number one. And then your 9-to-5 or your whatever your bridge job is your side hustle. It's just keeping the lights on. So make that distinction in your brain, and your brain will start to prioritize things very, very differently. I am a very specific energy type. I'm almost positive for everyone listening will also agree that you're a manifesting generator, which means you create your own energy, or you're a generator. Okay. So for what works really well for me, and for anyone listening who also has the same energy types as, you know, us, I am obsessed with a calendar, okay, and time blocking. So I also, right now, I have a business. I'm also building another business. You know, I also have a podcast. I have a boyfriend. I have a social life. I've worked out, you know. It's like, we're all busy, let's be honest. But if it's not in my calendar, it is not getting done. So when I was in that phase where you're in right now, which is like, okay, balancing all the things and doing all the things, and honestly, that hasn't really stopped. But in the beginning, the thing that saved me is that, like, I would time block, okay, at this time, I am at working part-time, and that's all I'm doing. I'm working part-time. I'm not trying to do 10 things at once. And when I get home, I would give myself like an hour break. I would shower, which is like actually a really important thing, because you shower off the energy of the old job. Then you like step into your new role as like CEO version of you. And you say, okay, from like 5 to 8:30, I'm just working on the business. And really committing to that, because I think it's easy, especially when you're first starting, to be like, oh, my friends want to go out for dinner or this or that. But like, if it's in my calendar, I'm doing it. And that's my priority. And when I just use Google Calendar. You can use a paper calendar. It can be anything, but really time blocking it in, because when you're your own boss, no one's holding you accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable. And I know like no one's really looking, it's just in the calendar. From a mindset perspective, you build confidence by putting something in your calendar and then completing it. So what really worked well for me is that I would pre-plan my week beforehand, and I would just ensure that I was spending at least more of my time on my business every single week. And if it was in my calendar, I was doing it. Like, I was committed to it every single day, and I never missed a day. Mm-hmm. And that compounding interest, your success is inevitable. Like, this is the thing, and I keep talking about this in a lot of podcast interviews and such, but the thing that's difficult about entrepreneurship is that your success in the beginning is invisible a lot of the times. So you're posting every day, you're showing up every day, you're doing the work every day, but you're not seeing the instant gratification. And a lot of people give up because it's really disheartening and it's not encouraging when you feel like you're doing all the things, but no one's paying attention. But the tipping point is when all the invisible commitment and posting and showing up and emails, it's going to hit a tipping point and everything's going to take off. Mm-hmm. And the secret sauce is just not giving up. And the secret sauce is not looking at the numbers and keep committing, keep showing up every single day, even when it looks like it's not working. It's
all consistency.
It's all consistency, and it's never giving up. The people that we look up to, that we are inspired by and doing all the things that we want to be doing, they're not more special than you. They don't have more, they literally just never gave up, and they just committed. They failed a ton and they just kept going. And I don't know how I got on this massive tangent, but to answer your question, really, I think coming from the energy of committing to it.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, the planning, the time blocking, I always say there's no secret to success. There's no big secret on what do I have to do to be successful. You know exactly what you have to do to be successful. You know, we don't ask why is Tom Brady the best football player in the world. We know everything he did to be such a good athlete. We know all the work he put in, all the practice. And I do feel like a lot of the time, especially for people in their 20s, and I keep saying people in their 20s because that's mostly what my community is. And I think that's when you go through a transformative period on who do I want to be? What do I want to do? And you think of this like timeline, and it's like, we love to feel sorry for ourselves. We love to say, well, I'm busy, or I went through this and it, you know, brought me back a lot. We all go through things. Like, we've all gone through heartbreak and grief and loss. And it's like, it's so hard because, yeah, it can put you back a few steps and it can make you think like, let me take a few weeks off or a few months off or whatever. But everybody goes through that and everybody is busy. Like, if anyone ever comes to me and they're like, oh, sorry, I forgot to, I'm busy. So am I. But if, like you said, if it's not in your schedule, it's not in your priorities. So I always love to like write down, I'm the same way. I have like a million to-do lists. Like, everything has to be written down or I will not remember, because when you put so much on your plate, you have to write things down or you will not remember them. Like the second I get like a new meeting or a new interview, I have to write it down right away or it's not happening. Like I'm gonna forget. And I think just like when you put things down on paper too, it like underwhelms you a little bit. Like when everything's like mm-hmm. scattered in your brain, you're like, oh my God, I have to do this and this and this and this. And then when you write it down, you're like, okay, wait, this is manageable. I could get this done today. And it's honestly like so motivating when you could like cross things off your list and like make like have extra time. You're like, wait, I finished this earlier than I can. And I like how you brought up too, like I have a boyfriend, I have a social life. Like I still prioritize the people in my life, even if I'm grinding independently and I'm doing my own independent work, these people in my life don't disappear from me. Because I think when you're going through a self-growth journey and when you're transforming and growing into the best you, it's easy to kind of lose people in that process because people can either be intimidated by it or people could feel insecure about not having enough time with you. So I love how you brought up that you do make sure to like balance all of it. And it's like a work hard, play hard mentality. I want to talk about you being a business coach. How you started. I mean, we kind of have an idea of how you started your own business, but kind of more so what a business coach does. What thought process does someone have to go to realize, oh, I should probably have a business coach? If anyone's listening to this and they're in this period of their life, what kind of steps do you think that they should take to get a business coach? When do you think someone should realize they need one?
Beautiful. So what really got me into this? So like I said, I had my first business. This is the business that gave me time, like financial freedom. You know, I was designing websites and brands for businesses. And that's where I was able to, you know, I moved to Australia. I lived in Bali. And there's a part of my story that I haven't shared yet. So when I was in the beginning of my journey and I was working all three jobs and I was trying to make my business become something, I took a trip to Australia. So this is at the end of 2018. And this was like a tester trip. I was like, what does it feel like to live in my dream place? And my business was not at a place to be able to support me financially at all. But I was traveling and I was earning money. So I was kind of, I wasn't at a loss while I was traveling. And that was good enough for me. I was like, I've hit the jackpot. I was so excited. And when my toe hit like the tarmac in Australia, I was like, this is my place, I meant to live here. Like, this is, the minute I got there, I was like trying to figure out how to stay there very, very long. And what happened is while I was there, I got called and I got a job offer in Toronto, in Canada. And everyone was like, don't take it. Like, it's January, it's the middle of the winter, you're gonna be so miserable here. And my intuition just knew. It was like, I don't know why, but I just know I need to come home and I need to take this job offer. And a week after I got home, my dad ended up committing suicide. And so obviously I would have had to fly home anyways. And I was home for this experience. And before this, I had started my personal growth journey. I was meditating. I was doing gratitude journals. You know, I was starting to get really into the personal growth space as I was building my business. But it was very surface level. I was just like, ooh, today I'm grateful for this. Like, it was just very surface level healing. I never really addressed any sort of trauma I've had. I'd never addressed any inner child healing. It was just very surface level. That's how I can put it. So when this happened, it was obviously my rock bottom moment. And I said to myself, either this is going to make me or this is going to completely break me. And this had happened 2 years earlier when I was in university. I was completely depressed, anxious, unhappy, unaligned. I think it would have broken me. I mean, I don't know, but I would have had no tools. Whereas at this point in my life, I had started my business and I felt what it felt like to feel on purpose and to feel happy and to feel aligned. And I had a future in my mind for the first time ever. I was like, I have a goal. Like, I want to do this. And so I refused to let it break me. And so I signed up for therapy for the first time in my life. And I also started Reiki. And for a year, I committed to this healing journey. And when I started to heal from the grief, I also started to heal a lot of trauma that I'd never addressed and inner child healing, and really immerse myself in this healing in all areas. And once I do one thing, once I commit to something, I'm all in. So I started, and I've never stopped healing from what happened with my father, but I also started healing different things. And so as I built my business, I've also been healing from this extreme trauma that happened to me. Yeah. And what ended up happening is I started to learn all these incredible tools. And this is actually how I started to understand the mind. This is even why I care about the mind, because I had to understand, like, how could someone think that that was the only option? And how could someone be so sad and not see how much love they had around them?
Yeah.
And so this was my reason of why to start selling this stuff and why I'm so passionate about this, because I want to be able to help others to feel happy and feel aligned and feel on purpose. And life is so fucking good if you let it. And obviously it's taken me a lot to get there. I definitely have not always been like this. But when I started through my healing journey and building my business, I started applying the healing tools that I was using to make myself feel better to my money mindset and to my self-worth and to all these negative limiting beliefs I had about myself, and my whole life changed. I was living in Australia. I started earning more a month than that corporate job offered me for a year's salary. I was happy. I lost a lot of weight. I had hormonal acne all over my face. It all cleared. I literally look like a different person. I actually showed my boyfriend the other day pictures of me back then, and he was like, "That's not you. That's not
all." Yeah, I mean, you're glowing right now. I was literally thinking when we got on the call, I was like, "Her skin, her body, she's tan." I was like, "She's beautiful." I'm hearing like Jersey depression with my pale face. I'm like, I can't.
I'll show you photos. Like, I used to be very inflamed, very like acne all over my whole body, very, very depressed and I was out of alignment, though. That's the symptoms of being out of alignment. And I obviously was holding on to a lot of trauma. So I was getting a lot of questions of like, "Marley, how are you doing this?" Because people knew my story. They knew what had happened, but they couldn't figure out how are you happy? Like, how are you happy? Because I mean, I didn't know anyone who had experienced something like this before. There's no rule book to grief. It's just, I just was like, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And I was designing websites, but I really was like, I want to be helping you with how to like change your business. Cause I'm like, you guys are so focused on the strategy, on these, like the font of the sales page, but none of this matters because you don't believe that you're worthy of the success that you desire. And that's why it's not coming in. Not because of the sales page that I'm taking 12 hours to design, that you think that it's the font, but yeah, it's actually your beliefs. And so I was getting a lot of questions. I think the universe will send whispers and then it will send boulders to like readjust you to your purpose. And basically I was like, "Oh, well, I'm just doing this and this and this. Like, that's how this money is coming in. Like, aren't you guys?" I just assuming that everyone else is doing that. And then they're like, "No, we're not doing any of that." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I actually really want to be helping you with that." But I had so much imposter syndrome. Who am I? And it was really what I wanted to be doing. So there's so much fear around it. But at the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, I was like, "I can't do this anymore." My business had burnt me out so much. You know, it was earning very well, like more than I ever thought was possible. And I was comfortable with that, if I'm being honest, but I was miserable. I was crying all the time. I was attracting really negative situations in my business because the universe was just pushing me. I was like, "Get out. How are you still doing this? Like, start living your purpose." And so at the beginning of 2021, I decided, and this is very bally of me, but I was in a Kundalini yoga class. And it was like, I just had this very peaceful realization of like, I would rather earn way less and be happy than be making what I'm making now and being miserable. So I was like, fuck it. I just completely dissolved the business. I didn't even try to sell it. I didn't even try to transition it, which was everyone's like, "You're crazy." I was like, "I don't care. It's just done. I'm energetically removed." And then I started my new business. And because of the law of energetic minimums, I earned the same amount almost immediately in the new business. And I know this is going to sound really cheesy, but I've never been like more fulfilled and more happy living, doing this. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I got into business coaching is because I really feel like what's not talked about is the energetics and the mindset around becoming a successful entrepreneur. So many people think that it's the sales pages and the funnels and they're so focused on that and they're not seeing success and wondering why. But the reason is because their beliefs are out of alignment with their conscious desires. And so when you can change the belief, I'm literally walking evidence that you can change your entire reality. Like I said, I don't come from money at all. I come from a very like scarce money family. I definitely did not have any connections. I'm from a very small town in Northern Ontario. Like, it doesn't make sense that I would be where I am today. But the reason it happened is because I was healed my limiting beliefs around money, around self-love, around self-worth. And oh gosh, it's just like, I feel like I'm just starting as well. Like, it's never going to end. But because of that healing journey and because of the realizations that I've had, I feel like it's my service to teach others, like, this is like, stop doing it the way you're doing. I know it's frustrating. I've been there. It sucks. Mm. And do it this way. This is so much better. And like, look how good life gets to be. And really just helping people see that like they're their own creator and that the success comes from within them and not outside of them. And once you pivot to that, it's like the world just opens up for you. So that's to answer your first question. I think everyone needs a mentor. Think about it this way. You want to climb Mount Everest, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to Mount Everest. It's very obvious to us that there would be no expectation that you would know how to climb Mount Everest, right? Yeah. But you get to Mount Everest and you see someone and they're like, I've been to the top. I can take you there. It's going to cut your time in half. You're not going to get lost. You're going to get to the top way faster. You're going to do it with way more fun because you have someone to do it with. Yeah. And we're going to go through it together and we're going to get to the top. I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
That was such a good way of putting it.
That's why everyone needs a mentor. Why would you waste so much time, so much energy, so much doubt, dissatisfaction when you could just learn from someone who's done it and learn it way faster, way easier, and know that you're going to get to the top? Like, if you start hiking Mount Everest, you don't even know you're going to get to the top. But if you go with someone who's been to the top, you know you're going to get to the top.
Yeah. That was such a great way of putting it. There's so much I want to cover. First of all, your story is so inspiring. And I think that people probably don't see that right away. When they see someone like you, right? Like I said, the glowing, the, you know, healthy looking, successful woman, they don't think that she came from the things that you came from. So the fact that you can speak about that and you can say, like, you know, people who go through things or mental health or whatever it is, it's so hard to pull yourself out of that low point. And like you said, is this going to make me or is this going to absolutely destroy me? You know, that is such a good way of looking at things, because a strong mindset will say, I won't let this destroy me as easily as this could destroy me and this could break me. I'm not going to let it. And the fact that you have that strength within you to pull yourself out of that and tell yourself, this is going to make me, I'm not letting this break me, is so inspiring. And I know everyone listening, probably just like me, was like, whoa, when you said that, because I think just even from listening to the beginning of the episode, probably didn't assume what you came from or know your story. So first of all, so inspiring. I'm so proud of you for just like everything that you've accomplished. Talking to you, like I said, is so inspiring. And I also want to talk a little bit about how you said imposter syndrome. I love how you use that word, because I have imposter syndrome too. When I record, I'm like, who am I to give you advice? Why do you guys care about what I have to say? And it's like, you really do just have to, like I always say, no one questions the most confident person in the room. If you go into something acting like you know it all, people will think you know it all and they will trust you and they will listen to your advice. So I love how you brought up imposter syndrome, because I think anyone owning their own business deals with imposter syndrome a little bit and thinks, when and where did this courage come from? Did this bravery come from? I think that when you know what you want to do in life, like you said, you being a business coach, wanting to be a mentor for people, me being a podcaster, knowing I want to give advice and share self-love with people. What about that girl or that guy that's like, yeah, I want to be successful. I want to climb Mount Everest, or, you know, I want to do something, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if I want to climb Mount Everest or if I want to do this. You know, I think a lot of time people want to be successful. They want to work for themselves. They want to make this great income and make a difference, but they don't know how to approach it. What is your advice for someone that doesn't know what they want to do in life?
Get curious. Start trying different things. You're not going to know until you try. My journey literally started from being so depressed, so anxious, so unhappy in university. And my mom was like, you should watch the movie The Secret. I'm like, that sounds stupid. And then I watched it and and it changed my whole life and it set me on this path. But being open to what the universe or God or higher power, whatever you believe in, is trying to leave breadcrumbs for you for. So you're not alone in this. Like, there, you're here for a reason. Do you know there's 1 in 7 trillion chances that you're here?
Yeah.
Like, can we have a moment for that? You're here for a reason. I believe that everyone here is for a reason. We all have a purpose on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like I have this theory that we are all here as souls to reconnect to our soul purpose and then reconnect to our soulmate. And that's like our journey on this planet. And so if you are here thinking, oh, I'm not meant to be anything, that's a lie that you're telling yourself. I can tell you that for sure. And every, like, the high, I'm just going to say universe, that's my word, but just insert whatever word you'd like here. Universe wants you to reconnect with your purpose because they're like, okay, you're finally here. Okay, night, like, we need you. We need you for this mm-hmm. one thing. Like, let's, but the joke, like, the irony is that you have no idea what it is and you have to figure out what it is. Like, that's like kind of like the biggest ironic joke of it all. And so there's someone out there that wants you to reconnect with who you're meant to be. And so they're going to send you signs. They're going to send you signals. They're going to send you people, opportunities to realize. I think it's like breadcrumbs. So I like to say, follow the breadcrumbs. If someone randomly is like, hey, do you want to go and try this one thing? And if you just keep saying no to everything, you're just going to keep yourself stuck. Start saying yes. Start. If someone says, hey, I have this book I want you to read, read it. Like, these are ways, like, the your God is trying to speak to you and, like, guide you to your purpose. But you can never figure out in hindsight. Like, you can never be like, I think about how I met my boyfriend, like, my soulmate. It's like, I could have never in a million years been like, oh, yeah, I knew that I was going to go here and there and there and there. But I was manifesting my person. But the way it happened, I could have never thought of it that it would come through that way. It's just so random. Just like my mom sending me this book, like, if I could have never put that together. So just start saying yes to things, start getting curious, start following your nudges, start following what lights you up, what brings you joy, pure joy, that when you're doing it or learning about it, it just, you're in complete flow. What do you learn about for fun? What do you do for fun? Like, it's actually probably right in front of your nose. It just feels like too easy. Because, oh, no, that can't be it. That I would just do that for free. That's actually the thing. Like, don't dismiss the things that you love so much. That's it. And I think, I really have to say, like, I think we're past the thing of, like, oh, well, those people don't make money. Like, it's just, like, so silly to me now because we live in the age of the internet. And, like, the idea of, like, oh, if you work in beauty, you don't earn as much. Like, have you met influencers on TikTok? Like, yeah. Alex Earl made $5 million last year. I think we're past that. Okay?
Yeah.
So just removing the money from it, because money follows pleasure and passion. And so if I can tell you one thing, that if you follow your purpose, you'll be the most wealthiest, abundant version of you. So knowing that, and it doesn't matter what industry it is, because there's a millionaire, there's a billionaire in every industry. Just follow what makes you feel good. And if when you monetize that, you will live your happiest, most fulfilled life.
Yeah. I love that. And just don't be afraid of trial and error. Don't be afraid of trying a million. Yes. I've done a million things before. I was like, oh, I love podcasting. Like, over and over, failing and realizing it's not for me. And it's like, if you're listening to this and you're entering your 20s, or you're in your 20s, leaving your 20s or whatever, take advantage of your time. Like your professor said, you don't have kids, you don't have a husband, you don't have a mortgage. This is your time to fail. Like, failing is a blessing. It is a blessing to mess up and to realize, okay, that's something that wasn't for me. Now I can cross that off my list and do something else. So I love how you brought that up and just not being afraid of trial and error. Your story has been amazing and you've been so, so inspiring. So I like to end off every guest episode asking my guest their favorite quote that they live by, a quote that they think of often, whether it's your iPhone wallpaper or just something that you have to remind yourself of daily, weekly, whatever it is. So if you had to pick your favorite quote that either pulled you out of a low place or that just motivates you, what would it be?
I feel like mine's kind of cheesy, but I'm going to explain. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. Because when you say yes to something that isn't a hell yes, you're saying no to something that actually is a full body hell yes. And then you just live your life with accepting people, situations, careers, homes, whatever it is that and you're settling. And for so long in my life, I settled and I was so afraid to say no to something that wasn't a hell yes because I was didn't feel worthy to get the whole hell yes. But I can promise you that when you start saying no to things that aren't a full hell yes, the full hell yes comes through and it's better than you could ever imagine. And your life then just starts to become one big hell yes. So how I make decisions, how I show up for life, and every area and everything in business, in my career, in my love life, and my friendships, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And that's how I've been able to, honestly, it's like such a simple thing, but this compass has really like changed my life in so many ways.
I love that. And just go all in. It's all in or it's not.
Go like, all in.
Going to bring me beyond happiness or it's a waste of my time. Where can people find you, your social medias, in case I know I'll have everything linked in the description as well, but just so that everyone can find you, because I'm sure they're going to want much more of you after this episode is out.
My podcast is the Money Mindset Manifestation Show. I am on TikTok and Instagram at Marley Rose Harris. And then you can find all the details of my programs and everything at marleyrose.ca.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on and for just being an amazing guest. Like I said, your story was absolutely amazing. And make sure you guys go to all the descriptions to find her down below. If you're ever in New York, we are doing an in-person guest recording.
Hell yes.